Have a question or need how-to advice? Just ask Meta AI. Whether you need to summarize your class notes or want to create a recipe with the ingredients you already have in your fridge, Meta AI has the answers. You can also research topics, explore interests, and so much more. It's the most advanced AI at your fingertips. Expand your world with Meta AI. Now on Instagram, WhatsApp, Facebook, and Messenger.
Mike Rowe here with a few thoughts on my favorite sweatshirt, a classic zip-up hoodie that used to be navy blue but has since faded to what the fashionistas call a distressed indigo. It's 13 years old, soft as a flannel bathrobe, and after a few hundred dirty jobs, demonstrably and undeniably indestructible. This is the kind of sweatshirt girlfriends like to permanently borrow, but I've held on to this one because I got it from American Giant. American Giant makes all their stuff right here in the USA, so they can control every link in their own supply chain. That matters, because when you buy American Giant, you not only get great quality, you create jobs for people in factory towns all over the country. No pressure, but if you give a damn about the business of making things in America, you got to support the companies who are doing it right. Go to American-Giant.com/Mike to get 20% off your first order. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey guys, Jay Cutler. Started a new podcast called Uncut with Jay Cutler. Most of you know me from the NFL, some of you have seen me on Instagram, and some of you know me from the reality TV world. Each week I'm taking you along with me as we discuss football, trending topics, and whatever's going on in my life each week. I'm bringing along people that are special in my life, former teammates, friends, and some new people that I like and respect. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Podcasting? I think I'm doing this right. Can't wait to get started with you. Go subscribe now. Uncut with Jay Cutler, Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, what are we talking about in the show?
You know, we're going to get into some Trans Am racing, maybe get you into another Trans Am car at some point.
Sad how excited I am about that.
You should be excited. It's going to be fun, and it's going to be at Laguna Seca if we make it happen.
Sonny's pumped.
He should be. We're going to get into that. We'll get into some EV stuff as well.
All right. But first, there's Geico. Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything? Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent. And welcome to CarCast. The man called Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, over there. What's going on in your world,
man? Hello. Oh, man. It's car news. I've been driving some cars, some new stuff. It's kind of interesting. So there's, getting my warehouse a little situated, and there's a lot going on.
All right. Well, we got lots of cars to talk about. We have a pending project, a little Trans Am project. I don't know. It's not done yet. But I don't know if you wanted to get into some of the
we don't have all the details on it yet. But there's a Trans Am race coming up in April at Laguna Seca, and we're just trying to put together an effort to get you out there in the event to race again. It's been some time since you were in that Trans Am car, in that Corvette, with Burton Racing. But now there's a new team and a new car and some exciting new things happening at Trans Am. And some new broadcast stuff that they've got going on for promotion and post COVID races are back on.
Yeah,
I guess post COVID. So, I don't know. I mean,
so dangerous to be in the infield of Laguna Seca, fucking retards.
I don't know if it's post COVID or post closing shit down because of it. Whatever, but yeah, trying to put that together, which should be exciting to do that event. You know, when you went out and raced, the Corvette, we were on the big track at Willow Springs. We went through that several times. But, you know, the opportunity now really got interesting because this particular race is at Laguna Seca, arguably your home track, right? You've got the most experience on that track and more comfortable with it. So not a lot of having to, you know, sit in the simulator or watch the videos of all the turns. Like, I know you know Willow Springs pretty well, but at this point, you've done a lot more laps at Laguna than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, there's always, you know, I don't know if people factor in the comfort level, but, you know, when you go to some new track, especially if it's a bigger track, it takes a good while to really figure that track out. Sonoma's that way, Road Atlanta's that way. It's just you don't even know where you are. Some of the stuff at Road Atlanta, some of the stuff at Sonoma, you can't really see around the next corner, and the elevation changes.
The elevation changes are usually the things that they can really throw you off, because you don't know if you're coming over a hill and there you're turning or you're braking. Like,
yeah,
you kind of have to know ahead of time.
It can be daunting, but you know, the thing about Willow Springs is it's flat for the most part, so it's pretty straightforward, but it's also super fast. So now you're getting into a car and you're going at a high rate of speed, so now everything speeds up a little bit around you. But you know, the more modern day cars are just it's almost applicable to compare a modern day race car to a modern day road going car versus an older car from the 60s or the 70s. It's about the same difference. It's just if you remember driving those old cars back in those old days, just on the street, it was just, there's just more work to it. The shifting was different. The response on the throttle was different. The braking, certainly different. Handling, you know, that kind of stuff. It's like it was a little bit of a handful, and you had to deal with it. The newer cars, they're ergonomically a little better. Like, there's a little more comfort in them.
Yeah.
The visibility's a little better. You know, things like the sequential gear shift is easier to deal with. You know, you just don't grab the wrong gears, you know, when it's sequential that way. So, and stuff like, obviously, suspension, brakes, throttle response, you know, and they're also not buggy like the, you know, the other, sometimes when you drive like a vintage race car, it's like, well, it doesn't get up on the throttle under this RPM, and you have to, you can't just jam your foot onto the gas. You have to kind of feather it up so it gets up on the pipe, and, you know, stuff like that. And then the modern day cars just work. Even though they're full blown race cars, they still work. They're just more civilized, even though you're going at a higher rate of speed.
So we would be partnering up with our friends at Showtime Motorsports, and they have the big, the Camaro body. It's the TA1 racing class. It's, you know, these are basically engines built for NASCAR, the stock car engines for there. I want to say it's the same engine builder that does a lot of those engines, around 850 horsepower, 850 plus is what the crew chief will tell you. And then beyond that, you just get to speculate, which keeps it kind of competitive. So, you know, it's a big class. It's a fast class. You would be racing with multiple classes in the track at the same time. So some slower cars, some faster cars. So there will be some traffic at some point.
Yeah.
But it'll be exciting. I expect about 35 to 40 cars on the track, I think.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering, you know, I was thinking about that track, and it's, even though I think Willow is like 2.5 or even 2.3, and Laguna Seca is like 2.23 or something like that. It's marginally smaller. It's not, it's not much. It's 0.1, 0.2 miles smaller, I think. Is Willow, Chris, 1.25 or like 2.4 and change or something?
Big Willow versus...
Oh, Big Willow. Yeah.
Yeah, not streets.
Not the go-kart track.
Yeah.
It's more technical and it's a little bit slower and there's just more twists and turns and things like that, you know. So
I think experience on that track is going to be the biggest advantage for you compared to being on some of the other tracks, because in this particular field, all of these guys have been racing Trans Am in the various classes for some time. So for you to be able to go in there and be competitive, it would be tougher if your newest debut in TA was Sebring.
Right. Yeah. Although Sebring might be a little easier. Let's make it Road Atlanta or some, Watkins Glen.
Yeah. Well, Road Atlanta, you have been on.
Yeah, that's true. We'll make it Watkins Glen.
Yeah.
Because Sebring is flat, at least, and was an old course. And I can tell you from running at, where's that, the naval base over, I want to say Corona, but
Coronado.
I mean Coronado. I can tell you when you're running flat at a place like Coronado, which they don't do anymore, but that's kind of like Sebring, you look ahead and see cones and stuff, and then you can kind of look to the right and see the track and where everyone's going by and stuff like that. And you'll catch on pretty fast. It's like autocross or something.
Yeah.
You know, autocross, they go out to the parking lot of Dodger Stadium. They put a bunch of cones out. It takes you a couple of laps, but then you kind of get it. Road Atlanta or some of these other Sonomas, you can't see over the hill.
That's the thing.
And you can't see where everyone is going, you know. You can see everyone in front of you when you're on. I mean, you can see the whole track from where you are.
This is why a radio is important.
Yes.
You got to have the radio. So you got to have somebody tell you what's going on, or at least tell you what's going on in case of, you know, traffic and passing, or you're coming up on the slower guys and someone's in the dirt, and just like a little bit of that coaching. But which is why all of our driving schools and our driving experiences like Speed Vegas and stuff, there's no real elevation changes there, right? Because it's for, you know, it's a version for everybody to be able to go out onto that track.
Just to jump back to what you were saying. So, this may or may not be true. Well, we'd have to, maybe we can figure it out, Chris. You can also check my screen. My little screen out here is not working. I keep trying to turn it on, so it's not turning on. But don't worry about that. We'll see what we can do. All right. So
I was saying about 35, 40 cars. I think there's 6 or 7 in the TA1 group, and then it kind of breaks down to the other group, so...
All right. Well, so here's what I'm saying, which is quite possible. But again, with my small screen not working, it'd be hard to glean this. But Chris can look it up anyway. The lap times on Trans Am 1 at Laguna Seca versus Trans Am 3, let's say. So Trans Am 1 cars are making more horsepower, big slicks, and faster cars. On the other hand, you take an Audi R8 and, you know, you gut it, you put a cage in there, and you put some slicks on it, and you kind of go, well, you know, and there's more to it than this. It's not going to be a perfect comparison. But as we've said many times, the guys out there in Trans Am from the 60s, the pony car Trans Ams, I'm sure some of those dudes got some motors that are making 750 horsepower. I mean, some of those guys don't fuck around. You know, they're getting built. They're getting built by the same dudes that are building these engines.
Yeah.
And they're using every trick in the book legally. And they're putting down some horsepower. They don't have the rubber, but they're putting down the horsepower. And as we all know, the guys in the 510s are turning the same lap times, essentially, sometimes faster, just because the 510's a little lighter and a little more maneuverable and gets through the corners a little faster and doesn't have the weight, you know, that can break a little later. And those guys hustle those cars around the track. And so you got to kind of go, well, on a big track like Willow, the guys with the big horsepower, they're just going to have the advantage. But on a smaller, more technical track, you wonder if some of those guys in the Trans Am 2 or 3 with the less horsepower but smaller, maybe more maneuverable, maybe even lighter cars, you wonder if some of those guys are going to get around that track pretty fast.
Yeah, it's a good question, but I think those cars, though, are sort of like stock-ish cars with sealed engines, you know, sealed crate engines, and a limited amount of tire. So it is possible that those cars are not lighter. They might actually be heavier.
Yeah, that's very true.
And the limitation of tire is going to be the big thing. In the vintage racing, when we see the 67 Camaros and Mustangs out there, and they're making huge horsepower, they're not faster than the 510. A lot of it is the tire limitation. Mm-hmm. Now, TA1, the class you're in, you know, those are tube frame cars with, like, now with carbon fiber bodies and stuff. So I think, you know, I'm curious to know what they're going to come in at you know, weight wise. You know, it's a lot of tube frame, and there's sequential transmissions and big V8 engines and things like that, and some electronics and stuff. But, you know, we'll dig into it. We're going to, as we put this deal together, and in the next, you know, month or so, we'll chat with the, you know, with racers, we'll chat with the crew chief, and we'll try to milk as much information from them as possible. And brush up on your questions. How do you turn the tech out of pit mode into race mode? And, you know, the digital cluster and you know, is it sequential transmission? Do you use the clutch in the first gear and then it's not after?
You use the clutch. Oh, sorry. Yeah, you do use the clutch. You do.
Yeah.
Or I do. I mean, they go use it or don't use it. I don't know. We can fuck around with that.
Well, I think good questions to ask them when we get them in here.
I was using the clutch. Mm-hmm. It didn't seem to, I don't know, one way or the other didn't really seem to make a difference to me, at least. But, you know, we should talk to, you know, Tommy Dreese and ask him if he uses the clutch. Or have all the Corvettes shifted over to the Camaro body?
I don't know for sure if they've all switched over, but I know there's some Mustang bodies out there and there are some Camaro bodies out there. And last I heard, when they were developing the bodies, for whatever reason, there was a little bit better aero on the Camaro body than the previous Corvette body. And I think they were phasing it out because that Corvette isn't sold anymore. The front engine, you know, now we got the C8. So why promote something that you can't really get? New, so I think there was some, you know, there's some politics and there's some aero and stuff going on there. You know, I remember going out to Thermal in Palm Springs and I did that F1 experience and drove the F1 car. That's a paddle shifted sequential transmission, but it did have a clutch. And the reason why I mentioned that is because they have to start the engine through the back of the motor with like a jack shaft, like a giant drill with a with a, you know, 3-foot shaft on it. And they said use the clutch in first gear to get the car moving, and then once you're beyond first gear, don't use it anymore and just shift it like it's a paddle, like a sequential. So it's just kind of interesting how it kind of would stall out if you didn't use the clutch in the first gear, just getting out of the pit row, getting up to that first whatever 30, 40, 50 miles an hour.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I used the clutch. Hey, so Chris,
Yeah.
Find the lap times, but also see what the weight is on the Trans Am 1 versus the 3 or the 2.
Just a heads up. So the 3 is now called Super GT. They got rid of calling it Trans Am 3. I'll look at the weights in 2021. So they raced in the same race. Trans Am, Tommy Driessi got he was first place.
You're right, but you're not at Laguna Seca.
I am at Laguna Seca.
You are? Yeah. They did the race in 2021.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, it's okay. So his best time was 1 minute 27.2.
Mm-hmm, 127.
And another one was 128. And then for the Super GT, the fastest time was 132, and another one at 134.
Oh, okay. So they are quite a bit quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get into the 120, you know, the high 127s on that track, and in the vintage world, you're now in it with sort of the GTP cars or that realm.
Yeah.
That's quick, or even into the vintage F1. I mean, I don't mean like 60s F1. I mean like 80s or whatever. Like, I think those, if you can get into the 120s on that track, you're hustling.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's going to
be. It's not the fastest track, but it is. I went and looked it up, and you're going on that front straight. You're at 150 on that track
and
in that car.
And I assume that's the lap times on race results, which means that's with traffic. Because of the slower groups. If you put these guys on there and they were doing testing, if just the top six TA1 cars went out there, all things being equal, and there's only six guys on the track, they're probably a little quicker because at some point you're going to hit some traffic.
Yeah. Be interesting to see if Tommy's going out there.
Yeah.
I'm sure he is. I have to follow him. It's always the plan. It never works out.
Yeah, it doesn't always work out that way. But, yeah.
I will. He's a nice guy, and I'll just fucking tell him. It'll never work. But I'll still tell him during practice or whatever. Just let me tuck in behind you for a couple of
laps.
Yeah,
he's not going to do that.
Well.
He's going to go out there and win. He's going to go out there and be brutal and win.
Nah, I know, but we'll see.
Listen, every time we do the vintage race and you're like, those guys on the 935s, they're all saying, hey, let's all go out at 60-70%, and they never really do. The TA guys, they're going out and they only want to do 100%. They are definitely out there to win. They're not even like in the driver's meeting going, hey, maybe the first few laps, let's put on a show. Let's all go 70%.
No.
They're not going to do that at all.
It'll never work.
And I think if you learned anything from the previous race that you did, although it was years ago, would be because the sessions are longer and we'll figure out how long and how many laps you do, it's more thinking about tires, like getting how long to get them up to temp, how long do they last, when do they get greasy, like over this whatever 40-minute, 45, 50-minute time period, like what to expect through the changes of tires. You know, the vintage racing has always been interesting, but, you know, not a lot of tire consideration beyond the setup, right? Like, hey, this is what we're running, and then it's going to be the same the whole time. Now there's going to be a difference.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll definitely feel the tires just going away. It's an interesting phenomenon. And the way you really experience it is in the hairpin tighter corners, you just start turning your wheel more and more and more each time. After about a half an hour, you just start noticing what used to be a slight turn of the wheel is not a big turn of the wheel, and the car still kind of snow plowing forward.
Yeah, right.
It makes a difference.
I think we were talking to Tommy Kendall at one point because we were saying, hey, you know, you've seen the cars in the collection, and, you know, there's some of the cars have manual adjustments for sway bars in the vintage cars. And he would talk about I think it was TK. He was saying, yeah, throughout the race, as you get greasier, he would adjust the sway bar to start to compensate for that on the fly, just as he was just trying to figure out.
It's in the car. Yeah. I mean, we should probably discuss monkeying around with it.
I guess. My ass would never be sensitive enough to go, when do I start dialing it in?
I just, you know, the conversation theoretically will be after 20 laps, shall I take this little lever and click it forward one click?
Yeah, or turn a knob a quarter turn. And, you know, and then lap 30, you give it another quarter turn. And,
right.
You know, like, is there a thought process on it? Even if that's even available in the new cars. I don't remember if it even has it.
I think it does, but I don't remember talking about it last time. But I think it does for some reason. All right. And then the question is... radio in the helmet.
Radio in the helmet.
I don't want to go through that again. So the radio in the helmet last time was we showed up and they said, you got a radio in your helmet? And I said, no. And they went, oh, boy. And I was like, yeah, that could have been put in the form of an email several weeks ago. I would have done it, but it was never brought up. So then they went and took the radio out of their helmet. But it wasn't really a good radio for it was just a sort of foam earplugs.
Yeah, right.
That had the little speaker at the end and you plug it in. And then of course, under any kind of race conditions, it was so goddamn loud in the car that there was no radio that could be used during the race. But during the yellows, when people kind of got off the throttle a little bit, one could communicate. And that did help me. So the question now is what is a radio in a helmet? And I'm guessing it's molded earplugs.
I would imagine so. But even when I did the Urbandale Oval race, I had a spotter and a radio and earplugs. And he told me straight up, he's like, well, you won't be able to hear me when you're on the throttle. He goes, right. So whenever you're getting into turn and getting on the brakes or off the throttle, goes, that's when I'll try to say something, you know? And I was like, okay. Cause you know, you couldn't hear anything otherwise. So
I could imagine if you had a good set of molded fitted earplugs, that might work, but yeah, once you're on the throttle, the loud, the sound is pretty
and, you know, I never really thought about it, but also like at the time when we used the earplugs and you see the guys take the helmet off and they got the tape on their ear, I noticed the difference when we taped it versus not taping it. It does seem to hold it in, or maybe it just adds like another little layer of sound protection from the outside world, putting a little bit of the one piece of tape, you know, the gaffer's tape on your ear, which, you know, looks silly, but it seemed to help a little bit. Another thing to mention, because now that we've got a little bit of time, you will have to do the medical again. So you got to get all that certified stuff.
Hey, Chris, what's the weight? Did you figure out the weight of those cars?
For TA1, the minimum base weight is 2780.
Okay.
But I'm not seeing anything for Super GT yet. It's really not published anywhere.
Those cars are 3,500 pounds to begin with, that. So, I mean, for them to drop that much weight to get down close to that would be probably tough. I mean,
it might be within
300 pounds, maybe 3,000 versus 2,700.
I think all they do is just gut the interior pretty much.
Yeah, it's specific to each model of the car because there's so many cars you could choose from. So each, like, if you have this car, it can only be this weight.
Right. Like, if you're running an R8 and it's all-wheel drive, you probably have some sort of horsepower limit or weight penalty or something along the lines of that, right? Like, you got to weigh a little bit more, you know, for the advantage, to offset the advantage of all-wheel drive, for example.
Yeah, but the all-wheel drive adds a fair bit of weight.
Right.
Too, so
they'll be It's funny, because we were at Long Beach, and we saw at the Long Beach Grand Prix... And then they ran a bunch of the sports cars, and every yellow or restart, like the Volvos would all like take off because they were all the all-wheel drive Volvos. Uh-huh. And then they didn't necessarily win all the races, but I just remember, like, I think it was a Volvo and Audi.
What's the date of the Long Beach Grand Prix this year because I think it may be up against Chris's goddamn wedding.
It is the same. So it's the same.
I
so
knew it.
Don't
you factor shit in?
I should.
Aren't that, you from Long Beach?
I know. I should look at that.
You could just get married there.
All right.
At the track, we do a track wedding.
Infield
It'll
wedding.
Be fun. Infield wedding. They got track lobster.
But I'm getting married on a Friday. So
yeah.
Oh, you can still make it work.
I'm gonna go to the event and wish you well and see you Friday, and then I'm gonna drive back and then go to the
race is Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday and Sunday.
Is and it then, Sunday or they? Is that the
well the Indy car would final be Sunday?
Oh, it is.
Yeah,
I thought for some reason
you can make it. You can make it, Chris.
I thought
you can make it for Sunday.
I thought for some reason the Indy race was Saturday and like the vintage whatever was Sunday or something, or the trans, not the trans, the sports car was Sunday.
Yeah, well they've got a vintage race and they've got the trucks, I think at the end when everyone's done because they screw up the track, and then so I want to say the finals, cuz there's racing Indy on Saturday and then I think the final is Sunday for Indy.
For some reason, I don't think the Indy final's on Sunday. But, well, we can look, see if we can find the schedule.
I know there. I saw him last year. And
you saw him on Sunday?
I see him Saturday or Sunday.
Well,
we'll figure it out. We'll,
yeah, I think the Indy race is Saturday and the sports car and then the truck is
Sunday.
And then
like the week before is the, you know, the drifting and stuff because they're out. They're already setting up.
Really?
They were already up on social media. Like now, here we are. We're, I don't know, whatever, 50 days out or something. And they're like, this starts the setup. So now we're starting to bring in the, you know, the barriers and all kinds of stuff. And yeah, it's a big deal.
All right, let's see. We got the schedule here.
Sunday, April 10th, we've got historic, the Acura Hot Laps, Long Beach of Grand Prix Indy. 85 laps Sunday, yeah.
Oh,
and then they do the trophy trucks.
All right, so the Grand Prix of Long Beach is Sunday. I stand corrected. Saturday, is it like qualifying or something?
Indy practice in the morning, qualifying at 12, and then that's it. Oh, they are doing some drifting in the afternoon.
They're doing historic IMSA GTP. Challenge race,
yep.
As well. Wow, they got a
100-minute race.
I got a full plate. Go to Sunday one more time, please. So Sunday's got the historic IMSA GTP Challenge race too, and then the Acura Hot Laps, and then Mother's Exotic Car Parade, and then let's see,
11:45 pre-race IndyCars at Grid. It's a lot of fanfare going up. You know, drivers.
Right. Then the Indy race is at 12:45.
Yeah.
And then the Stadium Super Trucks. And then Porsche Carrera Cup race is after the Super Trucks. Interesting.
Well, good luck.
Yeah. I hope they move those jumps.
I hope they move those jumps.
That is the craziest race ever.
And it is. And they just hit each other like in the air and around the turns. It's fun to see. And it's actually really fun to see it. And when you see it live, because when you're in the grandstands, they come flying. They set up the jumps in front of the grandstand so you can see the trucks go flying through the air.
All right. So also the Hummer EV specs are released finally.
Yeah. So we were just talking about how not long ago how, you know, all the car manufacturers saying, like, we've got all of these EVs and the way to make these EVs get longer range as we look into better battery technology, we're going to focus on lighter weight and aerodynamics. If we can reduce the amount of wiring and all the stuff that's in a vehicle to reduce the weight. However, the Hummer EV is going to weigh 9,063 pounds. The battery alone is 2,923 pounds. It's going to be the largest battery in a production vehicle so far, 210 kilowatts. But because it's so heavy, it's going to have a 320-mile range. That'll be 1,000 horsepower, boatloads of torque, 329-mile range is what GM submitted to the EPA. I have no idea what it's going to cost to charge that thing.
Well, the question is are the tree huggers down with this thing? Because I feel like environmentally, this thing's more impactful than just driving a, well, a Honda Civic gas-powered.
You know, I was... This is a conversation with people that are much more knowledgeable about the topic. But I kept saying on the show earlier with Goldberg, say, hey, look, you know, the government is forcing the car companies to say we've got to go to EV and we're not going to have gas engines by, you know, in new cars sold by a certain year, and we're phasing that out. But at some point, this is going to come back around, and we're going to start getting mandates going, builders, you can't build new houses or communities without solar power everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. And we can't build new buildings of any sort without solar power. And then it's going to be something like a rollout, like, oh, all new homes need to have 35% solar power by a certain year. Then it's going to be 70% or 80%, because mm-hmm. the idea of generating enough power and storing it and doing it to charge all these electric cars, especially because they want us to all charge at home. What are we going to do? Just roll coal? We're going to end up rolling coal anyway, just to charge all of these EVs? Like, what's going to happen? So solar is going to be the way to make it happen, I guess. But when's it going to come down to that's going to be the next big thing, right?
Yeah, California is very indicative of the mindset that dumb people have, or idealistic people have, which is we want electric cars and we're going to mandate for electric cars, but we don't have the mechanical infrastructure to support it. Our power grid is shit in California. Mm-hmm. So it's a perfect glimpse into the way fucking idiots think. It's the people that they sit around and they go, you know, I don't like hunting. And then they go, but you eat meat. Yeah. Well, then hunting, they just hunt and they eat the meat. Yeah. I don't like hunting. And then you go, oh, but you go to the market and you buy meat and that's coming from a slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, like,
I don't want to hear about it.
But I'm not for hunting.
Yeah, that's right.
That's classic chick think, and it's fucking dumb. And when that chick think gets into policy, then we're fucked. And that's basically California.
Well, look, pushing EVs on everyone, and there's some cool EV cars, don't get me wrong, but pushing the whole agenda of EV has political teeth, mm-hmm. right? But fixing a power grid doesn't have any political teeth, right?
No,
you can't get anyone to rally behind that because people, yeah, that's just going to be like, who's going to pay for it? And I don't get to see what I pay for.
Right.
You know, like at least buying a Tesla, you get to see what you pay for.
Yeah, it doesn't, it's not sexy.
Right.
All right.
I don't know, it's just kind of interesting.
I'm going to be in Waukegan, Illinois at the Genesee Theater on March 10th doing stand up. And then, March 11th and 12th, going to Kansas City, the Comedy Club of Kansas City. And you can go to AdamCarolla.com if you'd like to hang out and say hi. What do you got, Matt?
You know, I've been driving a few cars, Jaguar F-Pace and the Land Rover Defender 90, the two-door version. So I'll be posting some of that stuff up on social media and talk to you guys about it.
So, till next time, Adam Carolla for Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Carolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with GEICO. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
This February on Pluto TV, we're putting the spotlight on iconic black talent. Watch your favorite movies like Top 5, 48 Hours, and More Than a Game. And drop in to binge black TV classics like The Bernie Mac Show and Moesha. Pluto TV has hundreds of channels and thousands more movies and TV shows all for free. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start watching today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.
It's okay if you aren't ready for kids right now. It's okay if you don't want to be a mom now or even ever. It's nobody's decision but yours. But do you know what's not okay? Not knowing how effective your birth control is. Talk to your doctor about effective birth control options so you can make an informed decision. Tap to learn more.